faith solution as a concept is not popular in both countries. And it's our task to kind of reinvigorate the true diplomatic efforts to the sustainable and fair solution of many problematic issues in the Middle East, including the Iranian issue, including the issue of two-state solution, Lebanon, Yemen, you name it. There are a lot of, unfortunately, crisis situation in the Middle East, and all of them are pinned on the fact that Palestinian problem remains an open wound for the region, and people feel it. And so this sense of injustice, of course, is dominating the emotions and any prospects for finding sustainable peace to the whole of the Middle East.
This is the love has dyed me in blood. Nor that I'm wise, neither mad. Your love caused me all the joy, took my heart and made fond of it. Desired to kill. Come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply involved in despair. Come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply involved in this pain. Now and then, like the winds I blow. Now and then, like the roads I go. Now and then, like the floods I flow. I'm Yunus, mystic of sorrow, suffering wounds from top to toe. In the hands of beloved, I write in woe. Come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply in woe. In this pain, come and see what love has done to me. Come and see what love has done to me. Got me deeply involved in this pain.
Let's recite the Quran.
وإذا قرأت القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام. يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome back to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools. Here is Ali Nasser with us, Muhammad Masoom with us, and Brother Hussein Ruhullah with us. I really, really welcome you all, and I am Habibullah Faseezadeh. So, Hussein, Masoom, and Ali Nasser, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you? Fine?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So, guys, everyone is fine, so let's not waste the time. Let's quickly start our class, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will be practicing Ayah 88 of Surah Yusuf, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. On what page, Ali Nasser, could you tell us?
246.
So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, turn to page 246, Surah Yusuf, Ayah 88. Masoom, Hussein, and Ali Nasser. Ready to get started?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوف لنا الكيل وتصدق علينا إن الله يجزي المتصدقين.
So when they entered upon Joseph, they said, O Aziz, adversity has touched us and our family, and we have come with goods poor in quality, but give us full measure and be charitable to us. Indeed, Allah rewards the charitable.
Such a beautiful recitation. Thank you so much. May Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. So, guys, let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. Then, inshallah, we'll go through the explanations and explanation of tajweed points, and inshallah, the recitation at the very end. Ready?
Yes.
Yes? What do you think Allah is going to tell us? Let's see. Ayah 88, Surah Yusuf, page 246. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا. Then when the brothers of Yusuf عليه السلام, the sons of Prophet Yaqub, yes, they were in their homeland and they went to Egypt, right? فلما دخلوا عليه, then when they entered into his presence to Prophet Yusuf عليه السلام, they said, قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ, O Amir, O the minister, يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ, مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا الضُّرُ, distress has befallen our family and us, وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ, and we have brought just a meager sum, or like some kind of money. We don't have a lot, but we have brought some, like, it's not too much. That's what we have. Then, فَأَوْفِ لَنَا الْكَيْلَ, yet grant us the full measure. You are a great person. You're so forgiving. You're so generous. You please give us in return, give us full measure. We don't have a lot of money. You should give us, okay? Then, وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا, and be charitable to us. Okay? Be charitable to us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ, indeed Allah rewards the charitable. So, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to us. Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Masoom, let's listen all together to Masoom. Alright? Masoom, you yourself as well listen to you, okay?
Yes.
So, Masoom is going to recite this ayah, then inshallah the tajweed points we will mention. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Masoom, you can start, Masoom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر
Could you repeat the word Aziz? You said Azizu. The kasra makes an E sound, right? Ya ayyuha al-aziz. E sound. Yeah. Qalu.
قالوا يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر
أحسنت
وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوفلنا الكيل وتصدق علينا
the dog became a heavy letter صاد was pronounced lightly was
a mistake here
so ta sa ta صاد ده فأوفي
فأوفي لنا الكيل وتصدق علينا
أحسنتم. Look, this قاف here is not a heavy قلقلة here. Okay? You don't say وتصدق علينا. This is a mistake. So, okay? We have three levels of قلقلة. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? This is the normal one. Alright? Why? Because it's in the middle. We are just continuing. Okay? Otherwise, if you stop here, وتصدق, that becomes a strong, but when it has a shed, it becomes
much stronger.
Mm-hmm. Okay? This one is a normal qalqala. Thank you. Inna Allah.
Inna
Allah. No. In.
In.
We don't have a sound.
Yes.
In some like styles of recitation, we have it, but we don't have totally in Arabic, we don't have a. We have E. U, E. Uh-huh.
Inna Allah yajzi al-mutasaddiqeen.
Ahsantum. Thank you so much. So, the first point here is falamma, the meme with shadda. Meme with shadda. And here, down here, wajina bi bida'atin, which is merged with the letter meme. Meme has got a.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
And also the last point here, look, the last part of the ayah. Inna Allah nun with shadda. So, Hussein, tell us, when we have meme carrying a shadda, when we have nun carrying a shadda, what's the point?
We should create a nasal sound and stretch it.
You create a nasal sound? Okay, and?
And stretch.
Stretch it for two beats. So how do you say? فَلَمَّا. Go on, everyone, try it.
فَلَمَّا.
It shouldn't be like this. فَلَمَّا. No. Or فَلَمَّا. No. Just two sounds. Okay. فَلَمَّا. That's it. Or إِنَّ اللَّهَ. Repeat.
Inna Allah.
Ahsantum. You shouldn't go so fast. Inna Allah. Inna Allah. That's it. That's the first point. Second. Qalu ya ayyuha al-aziz. Ya. You stretch the sound. Yes? You stretch the mat. Is that correct, guys? Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Was he correct? Yeah. So he is allowed to ignore it even, yeah?
Because
this is?
Jaiz.
A jaiz mad. It's not a wajib one. So you can stretch it or ignore it. مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا الضُّرُّ وَجِئِنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ. Focus on the heavy letters. ضَاد, ضَاضَ, بِبِضَاعَةٍ. Right? مُزْجَاتٍ. This is light letter. آآ, آآ. Practice this one. Okay? وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا مُتَصَدِّقِينَ. صَ, صَ. practice on the heavy and light letters. That's all. That's all. Sila, the stopping sign, that as well indicates what?
Better to continue.
Better to continue. Continue reading, not making a pause here. But still you can make a pause, yeah?
Yes.
Ready to repeat after me?
Yes.
I will recite it. So, dear listeners, all together with Ali Nasir, Hussein, and Masoom, please listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز
فلما دخلوا عليه قالوا يا أيها العزيز
يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة
يا أيها العزيز مسنا وأهلنا الضر وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة
وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوفلنا الكيل وتصدق علينا
وجئنا ببضاعة مزجاة فأوفلنا الكيل وتصدق علينا
إن الله يجزي المتصدقين
إن الله يجزي المتصدقين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Thank you so much. Allah bless you. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thank you so, so, so much for being with us. Hope you have learned something. Stay with Arab English Radio. Every day we are here with you explaining one of the verses of the Quran with tajweed points and the recitation. Guys, any questions?
Nothing?
No. That's it from us for today. See you in the next session. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
From east to west. vast land of Iran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Iran Radio and interesting facts about Islam. Islam's tradition of oral recitation developed into an efficient vehicle for mass-produced handwritten literature. A single Muslim reciter would read a book out loud to a group of scribes who copied his spoken words simultaneously. Europe, in contrast, used a much slower system. Monks copied books individually and one at a time. Gutenberg's movable typeprinting press was ill-suited for cursive Arabic and was only slowly adopted by Muslims. However, when lithography was invented in Germany in 1796, which used drawing on stone with ink to produce illustrations, Muslims eagerly adopted this method of printing. It replaced hand copying to make multiple copies of the Holy Quran and Arabic newspapers and books. And now we listen to the continuation of our schedule on Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
Why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghibah.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications, so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So, dear friends, we are humbly at your service speaking about the dialogues of the awaited savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So we're kind of picking and choosing between various questions and answers in this back and forth that Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, has with an individual by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Ja'far, who is one of his followers. And, you know, this individual, he poses various questions to His Eminence, and His Eminence answers these questions. So we're kind of picking and choosing the interesting ones, the ones that are kind of interesting to speak about. You know, one question that Muhammad ibn Abdullah asks, he says that it has been narrated from our previous scholars, when it comes to the reward of the Holy Quran, when you recite it in the prayers, he says, it is astonishing that a person who does not recite Suratul Qadr in his prayer, how is his prayer accepted, right? So the first question is, if you don't recite Suratul Qadr in your daily prayers, then your daily prayers are not accepted. And then he says that it is narrated that a person who recites Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, until the end in their prayers, does not recite it in their prayers, that that prayer does not scale the heights of honor. And that on the other hand, one who recites Suratul Humaza in his prayers, they would get the reward equal to the whole world. So then should one recite Suratul Humaza and not recite the other surahs and the other chapters of the Holy Quran in the prayers? What happens to the purity and loftiness of these prayers, you know, because you can't read every single one of them is what is being asked. So they're saying that, you know, Suratul Qadr, Suratul Ikhlas, how can a prayer be accepted if they're not recited? And on the other hand, Suratul Humaza, if it is recited, then it has also great rewards. His Eminence, he replies to these questions and he says that, yes, the rewards of the surahs and the chapters of the Holy Quran to be recited in the prayers that you have said is correct. Meaning there's great value to Suratul Qadr, there's great value to Suratul Ikhlas, and there's great value to Suratul Humaza. Suratul A'la is also another one that is recommended. Suratul Jum'ah is also recommended. These two I'm adding myself so that we know that there are also other surahs that are of value. But His Eminence says that if one leaves the other surahs that are eligible for rewards and instead recites Suratul Ikhlas or Suratul Qadr because of the merits of these two chapters of the Holy Quran, they would get the rewards of the other surahs that they have, that they would have recited, but they didn't. And, of course, you can recite other surahs in the namaz, in the prayer, and the prayer will still be correct. So, a very beautiful manner that His Eminence answered these questions, and a very beautiful way that he answered these questions and brought clarity to a situation which was quite confusing. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
There is a verse of the Quran where Allah says, وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ نَاقَةً مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا. We brought to the people of Thamud a camel. It was brought from a carving on a cave, and it was brought to life. A real camel came out of the wall to them. And yet they slaughtered and hamstrung the camel and killed it. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. We do not send miracles and signs except as a deterrent to people. So that then tells us that miracles have a certain purpose in Allah's eyes. The idea of a miracle is not to provide proof, if I can put it that way, but to provide added proof, meaning that the miracle only shows you that this prophet or this messenger or this imam has a special position with Allah, such that when he asks Allah for something, his prayer is not refused. But it does not in itself give you a conviction that will not leave you or eliminate hypocrisy from the heart. It is also used as a deterrent, as the Quran says, so that those who are evil are held back, because they realize that if this person prays for something, it will affect us. Such as Fir'aun, for example, when the Prophet Musa alayhi salam prays for pestilence, for locusts, and for the firstborn in all the Egyptian family to die, all these things happen. So it serves as a deterrent to them. But in itself, it is not meant to bring human beings to prove. Why? Because Allah does not want human beings to be convinced of the truth only by miracles and signs. There is no greatness in that. Greatness lies in attaining conviction through purifying oneself, through realization, through the intellect, through understanding, rather than just miracles, where one may then argue, well, I was hypnotized, or well, there was a scientific explanation to this, or well, I don't know if it really happened, or well, it happened 1,000 years ago, I want to see that for myself. And that is why we argue that the greatest miracle is the Quran, even though the Messenger of Allah performed many other miracles. A lot of times you will find, if you look at the internet as well, you will see Christians will argue on this basis. They will say, oh, Jesus was better than Muhammad because Jesus could bring the dead back to life, he could heal the lepers, he could give the blind sight, he could do this, he could do that. What could your prophet do? And then we argue back and say, well, he split the moon, and when he holds pebbles in his hands, they would do tasbih, and a tree moved from its place. And now these were true. The prophet did do those. But that is not the line of argument. Because when Jesus himself came and he performed these miracles, the people denied him. Most of them denied him, except the Hawariyun or the disciples. He took clay and built a bird out of that and fashioned it. And with the permission of Allah, he would breathe life into it and it would fly and become a living creature. They would still deny it and say, this is magic. So he had to perform miracles to involve them in the miracle.
For listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice. You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, never my soul, it's my voice. Oh, 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 oh.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam, my dear. Allah, my Lord. His word, Quran. Muhammad, Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma and...
This is Nahid, having the honor of being with you.
Yes, so we're so happy to be in this studio because Youth Station is home. And once we're here, that means we're home again. This cozy corner of being in the Youth Station is the most pleasurable thing.
Yeah, exactly.
When I look back into my childhood, I feel so proud of being a member of the Islamic world. You know, it's a blessing that we sometimes forget that it's a blessing. It's a real, real gift.
Yeah, and many times we just take it for granted.
Many times, unfortunately, when you have just as health and other blessings that you have, you don't remember how respectful they are up until you lose it.
Or you see the other people. I mean, when I just entered the school as a teacher and I saw the students who, this is like really beautiful, fortunately, I could see the students who love the religion and I could see how they are defending the religion. When I saw those people, I thought and I started asking myself, are you being the same person who can defend the religion the way they are? So when I saw those pictures, I started to work on myself even more. Like, our children are aware and they love their faith. So we are the same. But sometimes we are not showing the picture of our religion. And this is a little bit sad.
Yeah. So the thing that we're talking about is Islam and how we see it and how other people would see it and why we love it. So let's start from the very first point, from the very first square, from the sandbox.
Yeah.
Like when you're a kid, maybe it's immaterial to you what is religion. But as you grow older, as you become a teenager, then little by little, your questions are going to rise up. They're going to pop up into your head. The first question you're going to ask is, why am I born?
Yeah.
So to answer this question, inevitably, you have to find an anchor. And that anchor, the best anchor that you could find is God. No matter where you go, how much you search, that's God.
Yeah, and that safe corner in every question that we face.
Yes.
The questions that are hard for us, complicated, we can't find the answers.
So much.
Yeah, and the only place that we can seek refuge at is just getting nearer to Allah.
Yeah, so you know, I know that in this materialistic world, there are many, many cults and many groups and many, they come and they bring different ideologies, different perspectives of the creator, of the creatures. But then trust me, all the roads are going to lead you into one direction. Yeah. And that direction is God. So in order to get closer to God, you see, it's very, it's much of a delicate and sensitive discussion. Like, because some people would ask, why do you have to have a religion to get close to God? To get this much of closeness with God. But then the answer is, am I potentially having this capability to get close to someone who is the ultimate truth and who is so great and so grave? Do I have this possibility? For sure, as a teenager, no.
Yeah.
Even if I get older, no. Even if I get wiser, no. Because for this greatness, I need a conduit. There must be some, a mediator. I must have a mediator in between me and him to help me, actually, to show me
course.
The way. I actually am not saying that my relationship with God has to have this mediator. Like, I'm not saying that. The chit-chat that we have with God, that's something else. But in order to get closer to him, there's a way. And that way has got gates. And those gates are the infallible imams and the prophet.
Yeah, and with Islam, you can find those ways.
Exactly.
I mean, Islam is the window towards finding those people, those finding the guidance that we are in seek of.
So in today's episode, we're not actually discussing this fact that why Islam? Because after all these episodes, I guess, we already made it clear.
Yeah.
And we came to this conclusion. We believe that. This is at the back of our mind that everybody who's listening to us has got the same perspective as we have. Like Islam is the ultimate way of getting closer to God.
Yeah, right.
And Islam is the best religion. And it has completed. You know, we believe that all the religions are one.
Yeah.
And Islam has brought it into its highest peak.
Yeah, and Islam is just the most completed version of the religion that people
have.
Yeah,
and our prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last prophet. And after him, there is no prophet who could come and have revelation and all those stories.
Yeah, right.
So the very first fundamental thing that we have got into our brain is that we all believe in Islam as the last and complete version of religion that we have. So now, how do we see it and how we love it? That's the question. We go for a break and then we come back to see it from different perspective.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Well, sometimes you have something so precious and then you do not recognize it until you see the others.
Yeah.
When you're healthy, you cannot see how healthy you are until you see someone who's blind and who wants to cross the street. At that moment, you say, oh, God, thank you for my eyes.
And, you know, with Islam, what happens is that it's something in our heart. It's the belief. It's the deep sense in our heart. And sometimes we forget about our actions. I mean, from the outside, worldly speaking, other religions, other people, non-Muslim communities, are looking at us. And from the outside, Islam looks something sometimes different to them.
Exactly.
I mean, unfortunately, those who are less aware when we talk about Islam to them, They have the picture of those isolated people who are not in the society a lot.
And then look at the policies, like Western politicians try to actually bring scratches into the face of Islam by, in what way? In the way that they created ISIS. Yeah. Now, many people, when they look at Islam, they remember ISIS, but ISIS has got nothing to do with
Islam. Yeah, exactly. And they feel like in Islam, women are being oppressed. They are being controlled. And
yeah, they did not study. They are not educated.
And it's so
sad. They do not go out. They don't have any interaction with the world. But that's totally the reverse.
Exactly. And it's so sad that from the outside, what they think, what they consider as Islam, as something totally wrong.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons, I'm not blaming anyone or anything, but I think the reason is from us. The reason is rooted in us. Those moments that we forget that we have to act based on Islam, I mean, those moments that we forget our responsibility to inform the world of Islam of how life is in this religion, they can be the reasons.
So we're here to bring some perspective.
Yeah.
One of them, the first thing that is very interesting is that if you look at history in Islam, we have never been interested for broadening our territories with war.
Yeah.
The prophet was the prophet of kindness, and he was actually assigned to complete the realm of manners.
Yeah,
he was the prophet of manners. He was so kind. He answered all the misbehaviors with him, all the cruelties that happened to him in his journey with too much of kindness.
And you know, Asma, the best kind of invitation that was done by our prophet was his action.
Exactly.
I mean, sometimes without even saying anything, he could invite people to his religion by just acting the sample of what God has taught him.
So the first thing I'm so proud of is my prophet.
Yeah.
My prophet has always been kind, and he's the symbol of kindness. He's the beloved of God for his behavior, for the way he talked to people, for the way he felt for human beings. Like a prophet crying at the very heart of the night for other people who are hurting him. This is too much.
Yeah.
This is too very much. And then asking God in all the occasions, the only thing that he cares for is the people, the human beings.
Yeah, right.
And not just, he actually does not draw a line. These are my people and the others are the people of the other religions. I don't care for, no. Our prophet was kind to Jews, was kind to Christians, to all the human beings. Yeah, there is no single account that tells you our prophet actually created a line border between he himself, his people, and the other people.
Even with those people who were insulting him.
Exactly.
He had that noble character, and he had always advised Muslims to be the same. He says, the best of you is the best of the best of Muslims is the best one in character.
Yeah.
He mentions that we have to keep the same character, though we can't be like him, but we can get those features. We can practice
those features.
Yeah, at least
we can learn. Features. We can practice.
Yeah, people were insulting him in the face, and still, he was the prophet of Allah. He had the power. He could just nag and complain about people to the creator, but he still kept the same noble person.
And he cried for these people who are hurting him.
Yeah, and he
asked
them to
Allah
be saved.
To forgive them.
Yeah.
So this is too much. And the other point about him, about the greatness of our prophet, is that our prophet brought women into the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one who helped women be considered as human beings. He was the one. And by the way, there is one thing which is very important. All the infallible imams are coming from his daughter, the daughter of the prophet.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was a girl who brought all these great and noble imams into this Islamic heritage.
Yeah, it's like after the prophet, the person who started this tradition of our imams is his daughter. So the daughter is keeping the flag of our prophet.
Yeah. So this is another greatness of our religion.
Yeah, right.
In no other religion, I don't think there is such a thing like what the prophet did, caring for women, bringing them into the spotlight, making the world aware of the role of women,
yeah, and of the ladies
and of the values of women.
Every group of society, once they know the character, once they know how our prophet was behaving, they realize that this person, this character is respected,
yeah,
regardless of the religion.
So another point is equality. Another point that I would want to mention is justice in Islam. You are equal to each other, and the only thing that makes you better than the others is your piety, is how kind and how loyal of an obedient of God you are. These are important facts,
yeah,
that you may not
definitely
find in other religions. And that's why we call Islam as the complete religion of God. And we're proud of it. By the way, only 14 minutes is not going to do the justice to the discussion for why I love my religion and why I love my prophet and the picture of Islam. But this was just maybe the introduction to some other episodes in Youth Station, which is a very interesting discussion. Yes, I'm a Muslim and I love my prophet and I'm so proud of my religion, because my religion is the religion of dignity, of compassion and of kindness.
Yeah, our Islam is our voice, our smile and our walk. So we have to be the beauty of our faith wherever we go. Until the next time, wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rabbil alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 11,740 kilohertz for Southern Africa. An FM 91.5 MHz for Iran. You can also listen to the English channel of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. You can also listen to the radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with Leader's Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran has reiterated the European Union and European Troika no legal ground to trigger a snapback mechanism of the JCPOA, that's a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Dozens of Palestinians have been killed in fresh Israeli attacks on Gaza since dawn Tuesday. And Yemen carries out yet another anti-Israel operation, targeting Ben Gurion Airport with a hypersonic ballistic missile. Hello, everyone, and welcome to World News. Our top story, Iran has reiterated the European Union and European Troika no legal ground to trigger a snapback mechanism of the JCPOA, that's a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Deputy Foreign Minister Kazem Gharibabadi said the activation of such a mechanism is illegal, adding the JCPOA is not in effect currently, adding the European parties to the deal did not remain committed to it after U.S. withdrawal. Gharibabadi noted the Western parties to the JCPOA thus cannot blame Iran for failing to abide by the JCPOA commitments when they themselves have failed to do so. The Deputy Foreign Minister said the Iranian delegation will assert its position firmly during an upcoming meeting with representatives from the UK, France, and Germany on Friday in Turkey's Istanbul. Talks in the Turkish city are set to revolve around Tehran's nuclear program. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister says the country has no plan to abandon its nuclear program, including uranium enrichment, despite recent military aggression by the U.S. and regional proxy, Israel.
We cannot give up our enrichment because it is an achievement of our own scientists. And now, more than that, it is a question of national pride.
Abbas Araghchi made the remarks in an interview with Fox News. Regarding negotiations with the U.S., Araghchi said Tehran is open to talks but has no plan for direct negotiations for the time being. He noted if Washington is coming for a win-win solution, Tehran is ready to engage. The top diplomat noted that Iran is ready to do any confidence-building measure needed to prove that its nuclear program is in fact peaceful in exchange for lifting of U.S. sanctions. Araghchi, however, stressed any future nuclear deal, though, should contain the right to enrichment. As part of ongoing memorials held across the country for Iranians who were martyred in recent Israeli aggression, a ceremony has been held in Tehran to honor the great sacrifices made by those lost in Iran's northern province of Gilan. Our correspondent, Mariam Azadche, has your story.
A surprise appearance that underscores the significance of the ceremony. President Masoud Pezeshkian arrived unannounced to pay his respects at the solemn ceremony in Tehran to honor the martyrs of Iran's northern Gilan province, those who, while their country was under attack, made the honorable choice to risk their lives in its defense.
My son was almost 31 years old and was fighting on the front lines. He was on leave with his family when he was called in at 3 a.m. He then left his wife and kids in his father-in-law's care. Mohammad Reza has an 8-year-old daughter and a 2-month-old baby girl whom he didn't even get to kiss goodbye. He defended the country for a few days and was then martyred.
In Iran, the spirit of sacrifice extends far beyond the battlefield. Over the past 2 decades, more than 20 pioneering Iranian scientists have been assassinated in attacks by the Israeli regime. Among the most recent, Mohammad Reza Sadiqi Saber martyred alongside 11 family members in a targeted strike. Yet, though giving up one's life is the ultimate sacrifice, outliving one's loved ones is a sacrifice of its own, especially for those who have kids to raise.
Misak is only 9 and he was so close to his big brother. We haven't talked about it much yet, but he knows that his brother is with God now.
My husband loved us so much and he often told us that. He also often tried to talk to us and prepare us for his martyrdom. The day before he was martyred, he told me over the phone about the importance of living a martyr's life. I have nothing more to say other than we're ready to give our lives for our leader, and I hope that my children will follow in my husband's path.
These